This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Tim Kaine wants to create jobs.
There are some signs that the economy is starting to move forward.
George Allen wants to create jobs.
For jobs in the economy, this Obamacare law is a real impediment for small businesses to hire people on.
Of course, Team Obama and Team Romney also have starkly different visions for how to fix our economy. So who's got it right? Here's the thing. Whomever Virginia chooses as its next senator might well decide which party controls the U.S. Senate. And whomever Virginia goes for in the presidential race could be the deciding factor in controlling the White House, too. Feeling any pressure? If you've already determined who you're voting for and why, we want to hear from you. If you've not yet decided, well, we'd like to hear your thinking as well. It's getting down to the wire, so this Politics Update edition of Virginia Insight will begin right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. You may have heard that there's a debate coming up tomorrow night. A fellow named Mitt, another one named Barack, squaring off again. If you are one of the some 5% of Virginians who apparently have not yet made up their mind, how likely is it that tomorrow night could be the deciding factor for you? What is it that you are waiting to see or hear? We've got a phone line open for you if you're willing to share. It's 888-WMRA-TALK. Now, if you've already decided who you are voting for, we'd like to hear your thinking as well. 888-967-2825 is our number in all numbers. And not just about the White House race. The Virginia Senate contest also appears to be still a dead heat with, again, some 5 or 6% still saying they are undecided. With such dramatic differences between candidates, who do you think these people are who say they have not yet heard enough to make a decision? 888-WMRA-TALK. With me here in the Insight studio, James Madison University Professor of Politics and Public Policy, Bob Roberts.
Glad to be here.
Welcome back also to Bob Gibson, head of the Sorensen Institute, and speaking to us from the studios of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities in Charlottesville.
Very happy to be with you.
And joining us by phone, America's newest official White House correspondent. After many years of covering Virginia politics for The Washington Post and sharing her insights with us here as well, Anita Kumar has now moved to the McClatchy News Service and the White House beat, although I understand she spends much of her time on the road following the president around these days. Anita, you're headed out again this evening, huh?
I am. I'm heading to New York for tomorrow night's debate. So thanks for having me.
Hofstra University, Long Island, thanks for making time for us. Before you fly away once again, by the way, let's get your take on this. Who are the people who have not yet made up their mind, Anita?
Well, you are right. I have been traveling a little bit around the country, well, really just the swing states, going with the president, and I've basically heard from, well, most people I feel like have made up their mind, but there are a couple types of people who tell me they aren't. Whether they're telling the truth or not, I'm not sure. One is those who say they want to watch all the debates, and they're still waiting to see. But as you said, the candidates are so incredibly different on a lot of issues. Obviously, they have some inkling of how that is, unless they haven't tuned in at all. The other group, and this is the bigger group that I'm hearing from, are people that maybe they have made up their mind, but they might not even vote, because they're just so frustrated with politics, they're frustrated with how many ads they see, and they're just kind of sick of the whole thing, gridlock in Washington, and so they might sit it out. They might have someone that they like, but they are just kind of waiting to see how they feel come Election Day.
Our first call is coming in from Edinburgh, and TL, I understand from a note that the producer sent me that you may be part of that second group that Anita was just talking about.
I certainly am. I thought I had made up my mind, but between the negative ads and the nastiness of the campaign, and I can't seem to get either of them to tell what I think is the actual truth and the half-truths and what I feel are lies, I'm leaning towards the Libertarian candidate now, but I'm still undecided. I thought I was decided.
But if you vote for the Libertarian candidate, the Republican Party would say you are throwing your vote away, because Libertarians would tend to be very conservative, and would tend to be, if they didn't vote Libertarian, would vote Republican. Do you agree with that?
Well, the Libertarian candidate has more social views that I agree with than Mr. Romney does.
In what context?
Where my vote would go.
In what context?
I don't care who marries whom.
Okay.
I am pro-choice. And those are two big ones for me that I just can't get in the Romney camp because of those two.
And
TL,
if I
could ask, those are pretty powerful issues for many people, and oftentimes people who feel the way you do say there's no question that they are then going to vote for Mr. Obama. Leaves me curious what it is about Mr. Romney's proposed policies that keep you thinking there are things that attract you to him as well.
Well, I don't agree with the trickle-down theory. It's never worked before. I don't think it's going to work now. But I also see where Mr. Obama really has not done very much. He did have a majority in the House and Senate when he came into when his administration started, and he was unable to get anything passed even then. And I think he has some of the right ideas, but I don't think he's a very strong leader. And we need a leader.
TL, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. Anybody else listening who is decided or undecided about what's going to happen when they get into the voting booth this November, we'd love to hear from you at 888-WMRA-TALK. Before we take any more calls, though, I think we might benefit by hearing some from last Thursday's vice presidential debate, where these issues that TL was just talking about dealing with the economy were front and center for a while. Let me set this up. The first question about this went to Vice President Joe Biden. It came from moderator Martha Raddatz. The essence of the question this Ms. Raddatz was asking is, how are you going to get unemployment below 6%? In the first response from Mr. Biden and then from Mr. Ryan, they didn't talk much about the answer to that question. But in their rebuttals that were supposed to be 90 seconds each, they did talk some about this. So here's Mr. Biden's first rebuttal.
And I've never met two guys who are more down on America across the board. We're told everything's going bad. There are 5.2 million new jobs, private sector jobs. We need more, but 5.2 million. If they'd get out of the way, if they get out of the way and let us pass the tax cut for the middle class, make it permanent. If they get out of the way and pass the jobs bill, if they get out of the way and let us allow 14 million people who are struggling to stay in their homes because their mortgages are upside down, but they never missed a mortgage payment. Just get out of the way. Stop talking about how you care about people. Show me something. Show me a policy. Show me a policy where you take responsibility. And by the way, they talk about this great recession. If it fell out of the sky, like, oh, my goodness, where did it come from? It came from this man voting to put two wars in a credit card, to at the same time put a prescription drug benefit in the credit card. $1 trillion tax cut for very wealthy. I was there. I voted against them. I said, no, we can't afford that. And now all of a sudden these guys are so seized with the concern about the debt that they created.
Congressman Ryan.
Okay, well, we'll get to Congressman Ryan's response in just a moment, but it seems to me, Bob Roberts, that the vice president's answer in essence is we could solve the economic problems if Republicans would get out of the way, or I think what he's saying is if they would simply stop voting against the president's proposals.
Yeah, it's gridlock. In other words, he's trying to shift the blame on the Republican do-nothing Congress, much like Harry Truman tried to shift the blame to the Congress back in 1948. And within his core Democratic constituents, it plays pretty well. I'm not sure how well it plays with independents.
Okay, Bob Gibson, I'm going to pick on you after we get done with this next cut from Congressman Ryan. We pick up in the middle here where the moderator cut off the vice president because he was over time and then went to the Republican vice presidential nominee.
Did they create
Congressman Ryan.
Let's not forget that they came in with one-party control. When Barack Obama was elected, his party controlled everything. They had the ability to do everything of their choosing, and look at where we are right now. They passed the stimulus. The idea that we could borrow $831 billion, spend it on all these special interest groups, and that it would work out just fine. That unemployment would never get to 8%. It went up above 8% for 43 months. They said that right now, if we just passed the stimulus, the economy would grow at 4%. It's growing at 1.3%.
When could you get it below 6%?
That's what our entire premise of our pro-growth plan for a stronger middle class is all about. Getting the economy growing at 4%, creating 12 million jobs over the next 4 years. Look at just the $90 billion in stimulus. And the vice president was in charge of overseeing this. $90 billion in green pork to campaign contributors and special interest groups. There are, just at the Department of Energy, over 100 criminal investigations that have been looked into just how stimulus spending
is being spent.
Martha, look.
Oh, let's just go ahead and continue. This goes another couple of minutes, and we're almost going to hit the break by the time we get done with it. But let's get both Joe Biden and Paul Ryan talking about investigating the stimulus.
There are, just at the Department of Energy, over 100 criminal investigations that have been looked into just how stimulus spending is being spent.
Martha, look. His colleague runs an investigative committee, spent months and months and months going into
this. This is the Inspector General.
Months and months. They found no evidence of cronyism. And I love my friend here. I'm not allowed to show letters, but go on our website. He sent me two letters saying, by the way, can you send me some stimulus money for companies here in the state of Wisconsin? We sent millions of dollars. You know why he said
you did ask for stimulus money?
Sure, he
correct?
Did. By the way,
on two occasions, we advocated for constituents who are applying for grants. That's what we do. We do that for all constituents who are applying.
I love that. I love that. This is such a bad program. And he writes me a letter saying, writes the Department of Energy a letter saying, the reason we need this stimulus, it will create growth and jobs. His words. And now he's sitting here looking at me. And by the way, that program, again, investigated. What the Congress said was it was a model. Less than 0.4% waste or fraud in the program. And all this talk about cronyism. They investigated, did not find one single piece of evidence. I wish he would just be a little more candid.
Was it a good idea to spend taxpayer dollars on electric cars in Finland or on windmills in China?
Look,
was it a good idea to borrow all this money from countries like China and spend it on all these various different interest groups?
Let me tell you, it was a good idea. It was a good idea. Moody's and others said that this was exactly what we needed. It stopped us from going off the cliff. It set the conditions to be able to grow again. We have, in fact, 4% of those green jobs didn't go under. Went under, didn't work. It's a better batting average than investment bankers have. They have about a 40% right loss.
Where are the 5 million green jobs that were being...
I want to move on here to Medicare and entitlements. I think we've gone over this quite enough.
And by the way, any letter you send me, I'll entertain.
I appreciate that, Joe.
Well, I guess we're going to have to move on, too. But remember, the original question is, what were you going to do to get unemployment below 6%? Bob Gibson, anything strike you most about that interchange?
Well, I think that what you hear in a debate, and they're not really debates at all, but what you hear in a debate is so much more informative and even entertaining than the sound bites that you get in the attack ads that we're subjected to 24 hours a day on television. That actually they're much more helpful than anything that the campaigns or their surrogates pay for.
Next to Esmont Lee, thank you for calling in on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
I would just like to say that I am a lifelong Republican, and I was really looking forward to voting for Romney, but his whole stance on Planned Parenthood, which provides cancer screenings for women. It has totally turned me off. And Obama is 100% a bad marriage. You know, you meet somebody, you think they're just great, they're wonderful, they're going to make life a better party, and they turn out to be a bully. And I'm not going to vote for Romney, and I don't see how I can vote for Obama, even though my daughter of 47 years, and I have never had an argument. We're starting to argue about Obama. And
so you're not going to vote?
I'm sorry?
You're not going to vote?
Well, that's the last statement I had with her, but I'm just not going to vote. But then I'm thinking about maybe voting for what I really believe in, which is the Libertarian Party.
And a lot of Republicans are very scared that voters like you will vote Libertarian and trying to keep the Libertarian candidate off the ballot in a number of states.
Well, we also have another third-party candidate who's a former congressman from... So let's talk about that, too, when we continue. If you have thoughts about the upcoming election, whether you're decided or on, we'd love to hear from you at 888-WMRA-TALK. When we get back, Lee, thanks so much. Oh, so we better include this important little update this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. WMRA is going to be broadcasting what was today's debate for the U.S. House of Representatives' 6th Congressional District, where incumbent Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte is running for re-election. His Democratic challenger, Andy Schmuckler, they faced off earlier today in Bridgewater at Turner Ashby High School. It will be broadcast Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., but we've also just received word that our tech expert in the person of Matt Pingay, actually, has now already posted this online. Don't go there now. But after Virginia Insight is over, if you want to hear that debate, you can already pick it up online at WMRA.org. So we were getting information about people voting for third-party candidates. Before Bob Roberts, we get to Virgil Goode. Anita Kumar, the current Libertarian Party candidate for president, is the former Republican governor of New Mexico.
Gary Johnson. He's also a businessman. And I've seen several stories about him, but as you probably know, a third-party candidate in the United States is not going to get more than a few percentage points.
But in a close race, that could be all the difference, as we saw.
Is he on the ballot in Virginia?
Yes.
He is on the ballot in Virginia, yes.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, do you all know how many states he's on the ballot for?
They're fighting it out now because the Republicans are trying to keep him off the ballot in a number of states.
I think he's on at least 18.
Right, 18 now, and he's working hard to get on some other ballots.
So Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party candidate for president, could only hurt Republicans if people vote for him as the
third? No. That may be the conventional wisdom, but the social agenda of the Libertarian candidate is much more progressive than even President Obama's social agenda.
Right.
And the fiscal agenda of the Libertarian is more conservative than even Mitt Romney. So you have a choice. You can vote for the Libertarian for social reasons and be progressive, or you can vote for the Libertarian for fiscal reasons and be conservative.
But the Republicans are trying to keep him off, and the Democrats are not. So the belief of the Democrats is if they keep him on, that's what they want to do. And the Republicans want to keep him off. So the conventional wisdom is what the Democratic Party believes. They think he will hurt Romney in some key states like Virginia or New Hampshire.
I really, really want to ask you about Virgil Goode, the former congressman from the 5th Congressional District, who's now running under the Constitution Party banner for president. But Mary's been waiting on the line here so long. So let's at least get Mary from Afton's call in. Mary, thank you so much for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for Bob Roberts, Bob Gibson, and or Anita Kumar, please.
I was just calling about the decision of watching the debates. I have decided, and my husband is the one I'm a little concerned about, but he has not decided until he's watched all the debates. So that's basically what he's waiting for. He's getting his opinions from the Wall Street Journal daily subscription, and unfortunately is not an NPR listener.
Most people would assume that somebody who reads the Wall Street Journal religiously is likely to vote Republican.
Correct.
That is the argument that we are having most days. So when the debates are really extremely critical. And so, we'll be listening to every word, and I will certainly support him voting a Libertarian.
Well, okay. But Mary, I'm picking up a hint that you may not be voting Republican.
Personally?
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
So you're voting Libertarian?
No, she wants her husband to vote Libertarian.
How are you voting?
I would be voting for Barack Obama.
Okay, so you would hope he would vote Libertarian?
I would hope, if he's not going to vote for Barack Obama.
Why would you? so his vote would not count?
Well, I mean, he is a Libertarian.
He
really is in terms of a socially liberal and fiscally conservative.
But Mary, Bob Roberts has got this great big smile on his face because apparently you are supporting his theory that most people who vote Libertarian for president are taking a vote away from Republicans. And it sounds thinking
that would be the case in our house, okay. I believe.
Thank you so much for sharing your perspective.
Sure, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Bob Roberts is a professor of politics and a professor of public policy at James Madison University. Bob Gibson reported on politics at the Charlottesville Daily Progress for more than 30 years before taking his current post as executive director of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership. Anita Kumar reported on Virginia politics for the Washington Post for many years, but just a few weeks ago switched to the McClatchy Newspaper Group, where she now serves as their White House correspondent. We're talking about politics, particularly who has decided who they're going to vote for, which appears to be 94% to 95% of Virginians, as well as the American public, and who is not decided. 5% to 6% of Virginians are listing themselves as undecided. So whichever side you're on, you've decided and you're willing to tell us why you've picked who you have, or you're undecided and you're willing to tell us what it is that's keeping you from deciding, we'd love to hear from you at 888-967-2825. This decided, undecided factor, Bob Roberts, is also about the same for the presidential race in Virginia's electorate as it is for the U.S. Senate race. So let's move to the recent debate. This was last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way you nod your head because I'm just assuming people can see you know, your facial expressions. We have Tim Kaine, the former Democratic governor of Virginia, George Allen, the former Republican governor of Virginia, as well as former Republican U.S. Senator. This, in fact, is the seat that George Allen lost 6 years ago that these two men are now competing for. And here again, a lot of concentration on the economy and jobs. So we want to take part of this response. Tim Kaine responded to the question first about what could Congress have done to have created a better or faster improvement in our economy. Tim Kaine's response.
I really believe what I said in my opening, that there are some signs that the economy is starting to move forward. Last Friday, just on the same day, we had the highest Dow number in 5 years and the lowest unemployment rate in 4 years. But I think Congress is the ankle weight. Just look at recent history. There was a veterans jobs bill that was pending before Congress within the last few months, and a decision was made by the Senate minority to filibuster the bill rather than pass it. That was devastating to our veterans, who have a higher unemployment rate than the national average, and all the reporting suggested they did it because they wanted to wait until after Election Day to do something positive. Over the summer, now I'll praise Republicans. Republicans in the Senate and Democrats together passed a farm bill. Drought relief, flood insurance, school lunch programs, good for kids and good for farmers. But when the bill passed out of a bipartisan Senate, it went over to the House, and the House decided to bottle it up until after Election Day. We have a Congress that is so dysfunctional where people will not work together. And we see that again and again. And as I travel around Virginia, this is the thing they most say: if our ideas are perfect but people won't work together, who cares? That's why we can't afford to go back to a day when we put people in Congress who want to add to the partisan rancor. We have to have bridge builders. When George was in the Senate, he ridiculed John Warner's efforts in the Gang of 14 to find compromise, saying we don't need to compromise. I think we need people in the Senate who know how to compromise, and that will move our economy forward.
Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate Tim Kaine speaking 1 week ago in response to the question he got first. And to set this up perhaps a little bit further, this debate was held last Monday, just a few days after the newest unemployment numbers had come out, showing that for the first time in almost 4 years, unemployment was below 8%. It had gone down to 7.8%. So the questioner had said, what could Congress have done to lead to better or faster improvement in the economy? And then George Allen got the same question.
First of all, what we need to do is repeal and replace Obamacare. I've worked with people on both sides of the aisle as governor as well as a United States senator on everything from internet access to screening of newborn babies and nanotechnology, the same as governor, and over 300,000 net new jobs were being created in Virginia during my 4 years as governor, as opposed to 100,000 jobs being lost. My view on what we ought to do in health care reform is not take away the decisions from doctors and patients, but we ought to be empowering individuals. We ought to replace Obamacare with ideas that will address pre-existing conditions. I do think children ought to be able to stay on their parents' policies until age 26. But the other thing for jobs in the economy is this Obamacare law is a real impediment for small businesses to hire people on. I think small businesses ought to be able to band together across state lines and have more competition, more choice, and more affordable health insurance. We also ought to have health savings accounts be made more prominent. They're more personal. They're portable. You can take them from job to job and not have to worry about a pre-existing condition when you have a new job. So there are a lot of things that can be done to get this economy moving. The thing that we don't need is higher taxes, more regulations. What we need to do is unleash our American energy resources, have a tax code that is more simple, more competitive and fair. And if you look at my Blueprint for America's Comeback, that's a way of getting more jobs in America and sending a message to the world that America is open for business again.
Bob Gibson there at the Foundation for the Humanities in Charlottesville. It seems to me that a key portion of Republican candidate for Senate George Allen's response to what needs to be done to get the economy improved is get rid of Obamacare. But also in listening to this debate, it seemed to me that that was part of George's answer to most every question. Even when they asked about sequestration and the so-called fiscal cliff that we could be facing if Congress doesn't act before the end of the year, one of Mr. Allen's responses was, we have to get rid of Obamacare. So Bob Gibson, you hosted a debate with these two candidates way back in December of last year. Are you hearing anything different now than what you heard back then?
Well, I think the arguments have advanced a little bit, but they're basically the same. George Allen is trying to make Barack Obama and Obamacare the ankle weight that he would attach to Tim Kaine. And Tim Kaine is saying that the Congress is the ankle weight on the economy.
Actually, he used exactly those words. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
he did. So, you know, there are a lot of ankle weights being thrown around here, and not much has changed in terms of the substance of the debate. But the debates are still better than listening to the ads that you see and watch on television.
I needed to give a little bit of your personal bio away or my ignorance of it. Did you start working in Richmond as a politics reporter for the Post right around the time Tim Kaine was taking over as governor?
I just was in the midst of his term, so I did cover him for a couple of years.
It seems to me that in this debate, as we just heard in this segment, he's positioning himself as the great compromiser.
Yes,
send him to the
Senate
and he'll get both sides working together. Is that a different tone than what he took as governor?
Well, it's interesting. The clips you played from both George Allen and Tim Kaine are really, really what they've been hitting for probably more than a year now. You know, George Allen's talked about Obamacare, like you said, and also the defense cuts. I mean, those are his two big talking points. Tim Kaine has been talking about this bipartisanship, you know, trying to be bipartisan for a solid year now. I don't know if you've seen his latest ad or one of his latest ads. He's in there with a picture with Barack Obama and a picture with George W. Bush because as governor, he could work with both of them, is sort of what he said. You know, he had to deal with a Republican General Assembly and, or, you know, Republican House of Delegates. And the House and Tim Kaine did not get along well. I mean, he would tell you, and he does say on the stump, that they did pass some things, and they did. One thing I can think of is, he and the Speaker, a Republican, got together on a smoking ban, so there's no smoking in restaurants now in Virginia. But there were lots of things that they did not agree on, and sort of that was their big complaint from the Republicans, is that he didn't, you know, try hard enough to schmooze with them and to get along. Of course, you could say the same for them. I mean, the two sides just didn't really get that many things done. But they also disagreed on so many things philosophically. One of those big things was taxes. They tried to find money for transportation, and they were just at an impasse about five times. So, you know, but they, you know, it's funny because the governor's record, it comes up somewhat, mostly about taxes, but they don't go into sort of that, whether he got along with them. I haven't heard that too much.
What was fascinating about the debate is you did have some major differences, particularly on energy. Allen was stressing his plan for drill, 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 natural gas, coal. And Kaine was stressing his much more environmental friendly approach. Mm-hmm. So the voters have a real choice. I mean, Allen was very, very much like Romney to drill off the coast of Virginia. to drill for natural gas in the western part of Virginia, coal. In other words, these are not very popular with environmentally conscious Virginians, and it's an interesting strategy for Allen to very, very push what may be popular outside of Virginia, but I'm not sure how popular those solutions are within Virginia.
Right. I mean, if you've watched Tim Kaine lately, you'll see that he is trying to fashion himself in the mold of Mark Warner. He has a new ad out with Mark Warner. Mark Warner, very popular in Virginia, you know, famously got along with the Republican legislature, at least many of them, a majority of them, to pass some past tax increases, and is still really popular and trying to do sort of the same thing, not tax increases. I just mean trying to come up with compromises in Congress now. So I think Tim Kaine's really trying to stress that. They've been on the road together a bit as well.
If you who are listening have determined who you are voting for and why, we'd like to hear from you. If you've not yet decided, we want to hear your thinking as well. You can reach us by phone at 888-WMRA-TALK, in all numbers. That's 888-967-2825. We also want to know what you are looking for in tomorrow's debate. Are you even planning on watching the town hall debate that our good friend Anita Kumar is going to be at and covering as a reporter for McClatchy News Services tomorrow evening? If you're going to watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio, what is it do you want to see or hear? 888-967-2825. The first part of the question, we got this answer on Facebook from Robert. He says he has determined who he's going to vote for, and he says definitely President Obama. Quote, he's faced a huge financial crisis, and he has worked hard to turn it around for every American's benefit and done so amidst unprecedented Republican opposition and obstructionism. We cannot afford to go back to the GOP policies that got us into this trouble in the first place. Bob Gibson, does that strike you like that's somebody who is wholeheartedly in Barack Obama's camp and even sort of using the logic that Mr. Obama uses on the stump?
Well, it does, and Virginia is very evenly divided along that that race, as well as the Allen Kaine race. So it's not surprising you find lots of people who would take President Obama's line about the economy, and it's not surprising you would find lots of people who would be critical of him on the economy and using that as the reason they would vote for Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee. The polls all show the race dead even in Virginia within the margin of error. And that, you know, there was a slight Obama edge a week or two ago, and that edge has been erased. It's the same in the Senate race. We are going down to the wire. We're within 20-some days of the election. Today is the last day to register to vote, and I voted absentee today, and I'm happy that I won't have to wait in a long line on November the 6th. You know, so it's very possible that you can vote absentee in person between now and November 6th. In fact, I would urge people to take advantage of
if
that.
If you have a good excuse in Virginia.
The good excuse is if you work in one locality and live in another.
Right.
That's enough of an excuse.
One
to
of the statutory exemptions, which permits you
yes.
to vote early.
And today, yes. by the way?
Is the last day to register in Virginia.
Corey in Edinburgh, we're going to hit the break soon, but it'd be great if we get at least the first part of your question.
Yes, this is Corey in Edinburgh. I just want to let you know I enjoy your program, all of you, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Did you have a comment or question?
Yes, I've decided quite a long time ago that I would vote for Barack Obama, and I see the big difference in this is I believe that the Republicans there's some easier solutions like drilling and offshore close. You know, there's some of these things environmentally that we've decided against quite a long time ago, and I believe that at the expense...
So it sounds like, Corey, the big issue for you is the environment. I apologize for cutting you off, but I wanted to at least underscore that much before we hit our break and ask you if you can stick with us so we can talk to you some more in just about 1 minute.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll be back. We have three politics watchers with us on this edition of Virginia Insight, speaking to us from the studios of the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities in Charlottesville. The man who heads up the Sorensen Institute, Bob Gibson, speaking with us by phone, White House correspondent for the McClatchy Newspaper Group, Anita Kumar. And here with me in our Insight studio in Harrisonburg, James Madison University political science professor, Bob Roberts. My name, by the way, is Tom Graham. This is Virginia Insight, and we still have Corey from Edinburgh on the line. Corey, environment is the reason you're voting for President Obama.
Yes, it is. The because I've heard so many promises from so many people, and I really believe that the bottom line is there are quicker, there are some things out there that we can recover fast and do, but overall, I know that they're short-term, they are short-term, and in the long-term, what we will see is that we will have less natural resources, less things for our children, and really it all boils down to our needs, our wants. We surpass what we need. Everybody has these big wants, and they call it business. Okay. And I've been through it and lost everything. I've made everything, lost everything. And to me, I look at it now in a quite different view. I was a staunch Republican all my life, conservative, and I even had the attitude, if you don't have it, it's your own fault. And I want
okay.
you to know.
And you live in one of the most conservative areas of the state, where you are, in Virginia.
I understand that. I'm also...
How are your friends, your friends in that area, who are maybe looking at environment, how do they view the environment in the your circle?
We don't talk politics.
Okay. So you sense...
Because we don't agree, and I don't need to have an argument with them. I've found
well,
that.
Corey, I certainly hope that they're hearing you on the air today, if they're listening, doesn't cause any problems for you. But I sure do appreciate you sharing your perspective. We're going to go next to Waynesboro, where I think we have someone who has a quite different perspective. This is John. John, thank you for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment, please.
Well, I had heard you ask for callers to say who you're going to vote for, and I'm going to say that I'm voting for Romney. And the reason for that is Mr. Obama stated, I believe, to Diane Sawyer in an interview that if he did not turn the economy around in 3.5 years, he said it was going to be a one-term proposition. So I'm going to help him hold true to that promise.
Now, what issue specifically do you like Romney on?
Well, he's definitely pro-small business. He's for limited government. And one problem I have with Mr. Obama is he has surrounded himself and his cabinet with those who are communists and has very left communist leanings. And that bothers me as an American.
John, how did you come to the conclusion that they were communists?
Well, it just takes a little bit of research and to see where they came from and what they've been taught and to see their background and who he's, especially Obama, has been influenced by.
And John, one other question before I let you go. Are the social issues, things like abortion and gay marriage, also important to you?
I am definitely pro-life, and I do believe that the Bible defines marriage between one man and one woman.
Thank you so very much for sharing your perspective. Anybody else who's willing to share theirs, whether you've decided yet about who you're going to vote for or you haven't, please do. Give us a call at 888-967-2825. Easy to remember is 888-WMRA-TALK. One of the reasons I wanted to make sure that what I was guessing about John's view on social issues, if he's such a strong Romney supporter, is because we have one more clip we wanted to play for those of you who are listening from the U.S. Senate debate that took place last week between former senator and former governor, the Republican George Allen, and former governor and former mayor of Richmond, the Democrat, Tim Kaine. The question here was about, in essence, abortion. The person offering the question said that requiring ultrasounds and in proposing personhood amendments, has the Republican Party gone too far on these types of issues, so much so that it might invade the legitimate privacy of women? That was how the question was phrased. It went first to Mr. Allen. Here's his response.
Well, some of those issues are state issues on informed consent. The one of them, Tim has brought it up earlier, I would never prohibit contraceptives. I think women ought to be able to have access and should be able to have access to contraceptives. Some will say, well, you can have access to contraceptives and religious freedoms. And anybody who says something like that is just playing politics. We can have religious liberty and have women have access to contraceptives. And so those are the issues they were talking about in the General Assembly. The one issue has to do with accountability, as far as I'm concerned. If a criminal attacks a woman who is pregnant, I think that if that attacker injures a woman and injures or kills the unborn child, I'm wondering who's for accountability, and I think that measure on personhood would, in effect, allow to have accountability for that attack.
So that was Republican candidate for U.S. Senate George Allen responding to this question about whether the Republican Party has gone too far on issues like requiring ultrasounds and proposing personhood amendments. Next person to take that question was Democrat Tim Kaine.
On the issues of women's health, there was a very, very vivid and, I think, horrifying spectacle in the General Assembly last year when the legislature tried to force women to have an invasive ultrasound proceeding against their will, medically unnecessary, at their own cost. The bill was moderated, but it was still horrible. I spoke out against it strongly. George Allen took no position on it. George Allen, on his campaign website, says that we should pass federal personhood legislation. That could potentially jeopardize FDA-approved birth control. George supports the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I think that would be a very bad idea. And finally, George supported the Blunt Amendment that was voted on by the Senate, which would allow employers to deny women contraceptive coverage at their places of employment. I'm against that. I will protect women's rights to make their own health care decisions, because you can't empower women in the economy if you take away their choices.
Democrat Tim Kaine from last week's U.S. Senate debate in Richmond. Anita Kumar, it's my understanding that you very recently filed a story for McClatchy News Service in your new job as White House correspondent, trying to suss out the presidential candidate's stance on
right.
these types of social issues. You find anything you can share?
Well, I would find that exactly what Allen and Kaine said were almost mirror exactly Obama and, I guess I should say Romney and Obama in that way. You know, in terms of what legislation they support and things like that. I do find, just personally, I found it interesting that on that question, I know that critics of George Allen have been asking him to answer the question about whether he supported Virginia's ultrasound legislation that was passed and signed into law earlier this year, and he has been months and months now, and he has still managed a way not to answer that question. He didn't say. I think the greater thing here, though, is that it's interesting about both races is that, you know, if you look at all the polls, definitely by far the number one issue is jobs and the economy. I mean, no one would dispute that. And yet there is so much of this race, both of them, particularly presidential race, that is still about social issues, still about abortion, birth control, and to some extent gay marriage. When you look at the flyers, the mailers that women have been getting in Virginia and I assume in other swing states, it's almost exclusively about birth control and abortion, women's health. It's sort of still remarkable that, you know, we're dealing with the economy and still this is, you know, one of those issues every single election cycle that people are talking about. The Democrats, you know, are saying that the Republicans are going to restrict health care.
Yeah.
And the Republicans say the same thing, which is Democrats are trying to distract from the real issues about the economy and some other things.
But,
I mean, it's just sort of interesting that we're still there. We're still right where we've been for decades.
Well, that's understandable because the key block that is movable for Democrats are women, particularly women from 18 to 30. That's the block that will either help Obama win Virginia or he'll lose Virginia or he'll lose the nation. Because those voters, they may be conservative economically. They may not like the fact that the Obamacare, but they do not, particularly the young women, do not want to go back to what the country was before. And they will vote on that issue above anything else, and the Democrats know that. And they're going to press that issue for the next 2.5 weeks as hard as they can because they think they can win these battleground states on that issue.
Next to Harrisonburg, Priyumpa. Thank you for joining us. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. We've got Bob Roberts from JMU, Anita Kumar from McClatchy News Service, and Bob Gibson from the Sorensen Institute, all waiting to hear your question or comment, please.
Oh, okay. Am I on the air?
Yes,
you are.
Okay, so I was just listening to your talk, and I just wanted to say that I was planning to vote for Obama and I have been the whole time because I'm really driven by social issues such as abortion and gay marriage. And I really believe that he is moving us forward. And Romney's stance and the Republican Party stance on women's rights are just horrid. I cannot even imagine what would happen if he was elected president. You know, birth control and abortion are so important in our lives today, and I really just don't think that it should even be, you know, no offense, but men deciding things for women like that.
Bob Gibson, one of the things that struck me, not only with Priyanka's comments, but earlier in the show, I think we had Lee, who said that she'd been a lifelong Republican, but she was really bothered by the Republican stance on the social issues, and that she now was feeling maybe she'd vote Libertarian because Republicans are so adamantly against gay marriage and women's choice when it comes to abortion. I wonder, Bob, if you see in your work a flip side to that, that there are Democrats who are uncomfortable with their party's stand because they don't want abortions to be legal and they don't want gay marriage to be legal.
There are such Democrats, and they have not made that the top of their agenda, or they would find it hard to vote for President Obama's reelection. It's a very, very telling issue, mostly for women, and in on either side. I mean, there are plenty of pro-life Virginians who are going to vote for Mitt Romney because they want to see Roe v. Wade done away with and overturned, and they know that the next president is going to nominate a number of justices, probably two or more, for the U.S. Supreme Court, and the control of the court for the next, who knows, 20 years might be at stake in this election. So there are plenty of pro-life Virginians who are voting for Romney because they would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned. There are plenty of women who are voting for President Obama, likewise, because they would like to see the right to an abortion upheld in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Priyanka, thank you so very much for your call. Next, we're going to a fellow named Tom, which is obviously a really good name. Tom, I think you're calling from Waynesboro?
Yes, yes, I am.
Your question or comment, please.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm voting for Obama, and your last caller actually brought up my point, but I wanted to take it another level. One of Romney's talking points is, and in general, the Republican talking point is smaller government and getting government out of the way, but I feel like it's hypocritical when they're saying that and then turning around and supporting constitutional bans on the definition of, or constitutional definitions of marriage and things like this that seem to go right to the heart of our private lives. And so I'm
sorry, Tom, I only recently got back from vacation, so my brain might not be working as well as it should. But I didn't quite catch what you felt was hypocritical about the Republican candidate's opposition to gay marriage.
Well, to me, it's a matter of on one side, they're saying smaller government. And on the other side, they're saying we want legislation that would strike right at the heart of citizens' private lives. So if we want smaller government, if we want government to not have as much control over us as individuals.
Thank you for clarifying that. Let me turn now to our political scientist, Bob Roberts. This has been a fundamental issue for decades, the kinds of things that Tom is saying. But on the flip side, those who support the Republican viewpoint on this, it seems to me, Bob Roberts, are saying this is not excessive government intrusion when you are protecting lives. You're not allowed to shoot somebody on the street. You shouldn't be allowed to abort a fetus.
The Republican Party, this establishment Republican Party, and the new Republican Party, which is more social conservatives, they're not libertarians. And so, in a sense, they have no problem with government using its police power to regulate personal behavior. Libertarians do. And so there's a split within the Republican Party, much more than within the Democratic Party, between what I call the social conservatives who will use governmental power to regulate personal conduct and libertarians who do not want that to happen. And that's why we have a Libertarian Party. So there's not.
You use the term personal conduct.
Right.
And I think Tom, our caller from Waynesboro, said something different. It seems to me if you understand the point of view who is adamantly against abortion, they don't see this as being a matter of regulating personal conduct.
Yeah,
Anita, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just chime in that, you know, I covered very extensively the debate in the General Assembly this year on the bill that would require, and now does law, requires an ultrasound before a woman gets an abortion. And that was the number one issue there on the opponent, saying
these are the big, you know, the small government people in, you know, getting involved in people's lives, exactly what that caller,
right,
Tom, said. The answer, though, from Republicans, and I'm just, you know, here saying,
right,
what both sides say,
mm-hmm,
it's not personal conduct. It's actually just safety, that government is supposed to make sure that people are safe and healthy and that it's a safety issue. That was the response.
But what's that purpose?
We're just about out of time. Tom, I want to thank you for calling. Gene from Edinburgh, I'm sorry, we're not going to have time for your call. If you get a chance to go to our Virginia Insight Facebook page and post your comments, we'd all love to see them there, and that holds for anybody else who's been listening. Bob Gibson, we've got 15 seconds to hear from you on what we should be looking for in tomorrow night's presidential debate from Long Island.
Contrasts. Contrasts on the economy, contrasts on the social issues that people keep talking about. I think there will be those contrasts, and I think it's going to be very different from the first debate and very interesting.
Anita Kumar, which newspaper would we be able to buy or go online and see to see your report Wednesday morning about tomorrow night's debate?
Many
from
papers, McClatchy? But in our neighboring state, Charlotte or Raleigh, or also Miami or Sacramento.
Names of those papers, just a couple.
Yeah.
Charlotte
Observer, Raleigh News and Observer, Miami Herald.
So many places to look for you. Our,
yeah,
guests have been Bob Gibson, Executive Director of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, Bob Roberts, Professor of Political Science at James Madison University, plus by phone, the McClatchy Newspaper's White House correspondent and still Charlottesville native, Anita Kumar. Thank you all so much for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in for this edition. I'm Dom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.